Today is the International Human Rights Day, and I'm glad and honored to have my guests here with us this morning, and we will be discussing and looking particularly on the human rights situation in South Sudan. How can it be improved, and what is being done at the moment to try to address some of the human rights situations in the country? Well, I'm glad to have here with us in the studio Mr. Lothar Jasek, who is acting head of delegation to European Union delegation in South Sudan. Mr. Lothar, good morning. Good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show. I hope I pronounce your name correctly. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Welcome. It's good to have you. And also with us in the studio, we have Ambassador Paul Tholen, who is Ambassador of the Kingdom of the Netherlands in South Sudan. Ambassador Paul, good morning. And it's good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning to you as well.
Good morning. We also have with us Adud Christina, who is a woman human rights defender. Adud, good morning. Good to have you here.
Good morning. It's good to have you here,
too. Great. Now, let's begin with you, Ambassador Lothar, about, of course, the human rights situation in the country, but particularly on European Union and some of your commitments in promoting human rights in South Sudan, particularly in light of the international or the today's observance of this particular day. Tell us what European Union is doing so far.
Yes, Steve. So as you have rightly said, the 10th of December is, and as I would call it, it's a spotlight day for the human rights, for the universality of human rights. Of course, every day should be a human right day. And actually, we have mainstreamed the human rights in all the European Union policies. So everything that we should do should also promote and contribute to the respect and development of the human rights. Today, we have organized an event. It starts at 4 o'clock at the Unipod at the University of Juba in order to highlight the importance of human rights, human rights everywhere in the world. And this is exactly what, because the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that was adopted today on the 10th of December 1948 is not the first human rights instrument or charter, but it's really the first time where the world came together and promoted itself on the universality. And the universality means that the way a government treats its citizens is of international concern. It's not only of national concern. I can also see from the preamble of the Universal Declaration, it says in the recognition of inherent dignity and right of all members of the human family, this is the basis of freedom, justice and peace in the world. So we have this universality principle, which is very important, also important to us. It is enshrined in the European Union Treaty in Article 21. It is the basis of the European Union foreign policy.
Let's talk about today's event that has been organized, particularly what will be the activities, what will happen in this event?
We will have, as the main act, I think, a roundtable discussion on accountability, and the accountability for human rights, for the respect and the promotion of human rights is, of course, key, because to have them, to enshrine them, to refer to human rights, to have it written in a document is extremely important. That's the first act. But then to use it, to apply it every day, to implement the human rights obligations, that is very important. And the accountability, and there were some very interesting developments. There was some progress concerning the transitional justice. Commissions have been created, authority have been created. Now the question is to implement, to operationalize them. We had a few weeks ago, I think, the report of the Judicial Review Committee out with some very interesting recommendations, I would say, how to reform the justice system to make the justice system more just and more accessible. The European Union is also part of the journey and has supported the Judicial Review Committee. So we have some progress, some movements in the right direction, I would say, and this is a good basis to have a larger discussion on accountability.
Great. Ambassador Paul, thank you once again for joining us. You've been patient. Let's talk about the significance of this particular day, and especially to South Sudanese. Why is this day significant?
Well, let me first start by saying that respecting human rights is not something that comes you have to work for it. I think yesterday I assisted at the ceremony to award prizes to human rights defenders, which clearly showed that it's a work that is continuous. Mm-hmm. It's not that we do it today and today and then it's finished. No, it has to be repeated. As my colleague from the European Union said 76 years ago, the United Nations General Assembly proclaimed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. But I think if we look at the world today, there is a lot to be said about the respect of human rights. Well, you asked me about the situation in South Sudan. I think for South Sudan, human rights are extremely important, particularly in the light of the extension of the transition. The idea to have in 2 years from now elections require that a number of basic human rights are respected. The right for freedom of expression, independent journalism. Otherwise, how can you make your choice as a citizen of South Sudan to choose who you would like to represent you in the government? So I think that's a concrete and very tangible example of where South Sudan needs to make a few steps to contribute to peace and stability in the long run.
Yes, as Ambassador Lothar said, today's conversation or discussion will also, talked about accountability on human rights issues in the country, or, you know, generally on human rights issues. Now, in South Sudan, let's talk briefly about accountability. A lot has been said. A lot of reports on human rights have been released over the years, but seems there has been a lot of impunity when it comes to holding people accountable for human rights violations. Going forward, what do you think should be done? What measures should be put in place or mechanism put in place to ensure that people who commit human rights violations don't go free?
Well, I think that recently legislation was approved, first of all, to establish the Commission on Truth, Reconciliation, and correct me, the others in other words. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the commission that needs to work on making people able to express, to tell what has happened and to bring people together in order to start reconciliation. Mm-hmm. I think the next step is for the serious graces to have the hybrid courts to look into what needs to be prosecuted. But I think we should also be a realist. I think it starts all with this truth and reconciliation process. Making it in the open, what happened, who committed what, who suffered from what.
Great.
I think that's the first important step to peace and stability also.
All right. I do thank you once again for joining us and being with us here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Now, you are a human rights defender, of course. You've worked with human rights organizations. You've seen what is happening in the country. Just briefly, in your own words, how will you describe the human rights situation in the country?
Thank you so much for the question. The human rights situation in the country right now, it's at least at its getting momentum, because ideally people didn't even have or know what it was all about back in the days. But now people are getting to know that human rights matters, and human rights is something that we all need to work together to achieve, all stakeholders, regardless of your ethnicity or your tribe. And also in South Sudan, much as they are facing a lot of stigmatization as human rights defenders, there's also a room. And with the current passing of the bills, like the CTRH and as Ambassador said, and the CRA bills, it's I believe with time we shall also have the hybrid court in South Sudan, whereby at least we shall hold accountable those who are responsible for the violation of human rights.
Mm-hmm. Share your experience with us as a woman human rights defender, like with your work. What do you go through sometimes when you're trying to defend human rights?
Okay. Currently in the history of South Sudan, there's a lot, actually, I would say. Not only for my side, but most of my colleagues that have witnessed a lot of numerous issues when it comes to human rights defending. And we've had cases of abduction. That is, I'm talking in terms of CSOs generally and those who are trying to be on the front line. So there's abduction. And in most cases, what happens is that there are also rules that have not been respected. And to some degree, you realize that maybe someone tries to defame a personality, and then they find themselves in a situation that is really hard to handle. Mm-hmm. And then also the fact that we don't have safe spaces where we keep these human rights. Whenever they have an issue, there's a follow-up, so they are flown out of the country, which is also not something appropriate for us to do as a nation. But it's also very important that we normalize these things as HRDs or as human rights defenders, because it is part of us.
Thank you. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show, where the big conversation begins every morning. And yes, I have my guests here with me in the studio. We have the acting head of delegation, European Union delegation in South Sudan. We also have the ambassador of the Kingdom of the Netherlands here with us in the studio. And we also have a human rights defender talking to us. And yes, let's come to you, Ambassador Lothar. Now, what are some of the most pressing human rights challenges currently facing South Sudan, and how is the European Union working to address some of these particular challenges?
I think one is the institutional framework, is the South Sudan Human Rights Commission. Mm-hmm. We do support. They need more support from the government. They all need, I think, very basic things. They need to be able to sit together in a building and to have the equipment necessary to do their work. That is from an institutional point of view. We do support South Sudan as well in the advocacy, in adopting and implementing conventions. For example, we're reaching out now to the Chemical Weapons Convention, which has a human rights dimension as well. South Sudan is participating in the peer review, which is a very interesting exercise where member states of the United Nations review the implementation of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights by other countries. So these things are ongoing, but I think that is a whole architecture, human rights architecture, that could be strengthened. But I think the Human Rights Commission in South Sudan, the South Sudanese own Human Rights Commission, also would need support, as I see it. In the wider picture, and I would like to echo what the Dutch ambassador said, that it's very important to have the free political and civic space, in particular for the political processes that are in front of us, the elections, the organizing, for an enabling environment, for holding elections. We need to have a free political and civic space, and also for the constitution making.
Great. Yes, let's talk to you, Ambassador Paul. And I'm going to ask again the same question before we just move forward on some of the initiative that your government is doing, particularly in South Sudan, targeting human rights, you know, defending. Just what do you think is one of the biggest pressing human rights issue here in the country that really needed to be addressed?
Well, I think that's, if you ask me, as a person, I would say the cornerstone of respecting human rights is a functioning justice sector. We need rule of law. And I think rule of law means, on the one hand, public services in the area of rule are that are predictable, that you know what you get if you do something wrong, and that it's not differing from one person to the other. Universal in that respect. But we also need access to those services. Many people have no access to justice. I think this is an important aspect. The other important aspect I see is equal rights for women and girls. I mean, in all fairness, I think there is a lot to be done still in assuring that women and girls have the same rights as men and boys. And that, I think, is also part of this universality.
All right. Now your organization in the Netherlands, are there some specific initiatives or that you are sponsoring, that you're working on when it comes to defending human rights?
I think we're quite active in supporting, through other organizations, the rule of law sector, the institutions building, but my colleague from the EU also referred to. I think that's important. We have to have a stronger justice system in place. But I think it's the other side of it is actually also helping human rights defenders, civil society, bring about this change. Because in all fairness, I believe that respecting human rights doesn't start only at the Ministry of Justice. It starts also at home.
Indeed.
Everybody needs to be aware of this.
Talking about that, let me come to you as a human rights defender. And I said human rights, of course, defending starts at home. It's everybody's responsibility. What will you say to those who, I've had conversations here quite a lot of times, and people call in and say this human right thing is, they put the connotation is foreign. It's actually not something actually South Sudanese or Junubi. There seem to be a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to when you start talking about human rights or people's rights and all that. What will you tell to such a person who still believes that human right is something foreign?
To such a person, Mainly, it depends on the context of which they're trying to express themselves. Because ideally, we have had the African Traditional Society mislead us in a long way, which has a lot of issues, and also it has a lot of backlashes on us. But however, there is a point whereby they have to themselves define what is human rights. And to them, currently in the South Sudan context, we need to look at the space whereby if this thing is happening to me, will I really take it? Mm-hmm. Leave alone the fact that we put in feelings before other things. But just like Martin Luther King once says that injustice anywhere is a threat everywhere. And in most cases, if it is a threat to your life, I don't think it's something that you should condone and also accept to be part of you. But if it's something that that can be handled by the community, then I think it let it slide. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes to maybe torture, I don't think it's part of human rights. We have girls who are being exposed to threats just because they have refused to get married, and I don't think that's really a violation of human rights. What do they really want as an individual? Because for them to have those gaps, they need to be protected.
Great. Yes, and that's the time we have in less than 1 minute each. I'm going to ask you to send your final messages and remarks, and let's begin with you here, Adut. What will be your message, Ad?
Okay,
on this day.
Thank you so much. Today, marking the International Human Rights Day, I would like to first and foremost appreciate all the human rights defenders out there. They should not stop. They should not give up. It's a collective effort. They should have a thick skin to make sure that the human rights are protected in the country, and also not to relax, and also to endeavor, like for South Sudan right now, I should say we should fight the system and not the personalities, because as human rights defenders, it has gotten us somewhere. And to top it all off, all is to make sure, to tell the public that human rights defending is not only for the CSO, those are the NGOs or the international community. It involves all the stakeholders. It's a collective effort.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Adud. Ambassador Paul, what will be your message out there on this day?
My message would be that let's start all today. Human Rights Day is a nice moment to start promoting human rights, particularly in the light of the elections in 2 years. Let's really keep asking for freedom of expression, independent journalism. That will help us prepare the field for those elections in 2 years.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ambassador Paul. Ambassador Lothar, what will be your message and remarks, final remarks?
Final remarks would be human rights are fragile. They need to be fought for every day by everybody. Human rights apply everywhere to anybody in all situations. They are not foreign. All the religions have human rights element and they apply to everybody. They are universal. And let me finally pay tribute to all the brave women and men who stand up with their time, their health, and sometimes their life so that everybody of us can enjoy human rights.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ambassador Lothar. Thank you, Ambassador Paul. And thank you, Adud, for coming to the Miraya Breakfast Show. We do appreciate your time.